Well, it's my pleasure this morning to introduce Mithran Chilepa. Isn't it great to have a fellow C3 pastor with us all the way from Sydney? Pastor Mithran and his lovely wife are the senior pastors of C3 Toongabie, a vibrant contemporary church in one of the oldest suburbs in Sydney. Mithran is passionate about missions and has a bachelor's degree in ministry and missions, studying in Singapore. Mithran has five services every Sunday. We bow down to you. We have enough trouble with two. Those five services are in three dialects. C3 Toongabie has been successful also in integrating new migrants entering Australia. Last Sunday, Mithran had 480 unchurched Indian people celebrating Indian Independence Day at his church. C3 Toongabie has a large number of young adults, many of whom lead the three different language worship services. Mithran has been leading the church since 99 and has revolutionised it from being a conservative, more traditional style church to the flourishing C3 church that it is today. Mithran has two very bright children, both at university. His daughter has won the national chess championship for many years. Let's welcome, can we stand to our feet, Pastor Mithran Chilepa.
Well, Nigel, where did you get all those lies from? Thank you, maybe seated. Oh, it's so wonderful to be here. I thought I was a missions man walking into this place. I just realized that you guys are miles ahead of us. Little did I know in the year 2006, as me and my wife and my family walked into this place. We were visiting Perth and we had an awesome time worshiping here. In the year 2006, I think it was the brand new building at the time. It was not completed. I remember this place. And your senior pastors, Nigel and Andrea, they were away during that week. And the church, the leadership treated us so well. We had an impression of this church. And little did I know, this morning I'll be standing here to preach in your missions. Reach out. Nigel and Andrea, I thank God for you. It was just a brief moment of meeting over a meal, and then the connection was perfect. And if you want to know about me, I mean, there's nothing much to say. All what he said was, oh, is it really he's talking about me? Or like, you know? Do you know that joke about like this funeral happened and then people were talking about that dead man, the husband and the wife for a moment, looked into it whether she was in a different funeral house because every good thing was said about him, and that's how I felt this morning. And wow, you guys are doing awesome. You're just, you know, 10 church plants all over the world. Give them a round of applause. Come on. C3 Movement is so proud of your church. And then you work with Barry. And where's Barry? He's so classily dressed. Your pastor is dressed for mission. I'm dressed like, I don't know what. India and Sierra Leone. Liberia, Southeast Asia and Philippines. Come on. This is, you know, this morning as I was seated here, as I was worshiping, this is what the Lord spoke to me. This is a prophetic word for each and every one of you. The Lord impressed upon my heart to say this. If I've said this, I'll be happy to go and have lunch. Yes, because this is what the Lord told me. All the message that I prepared, the PowerPoint and all that, it's not needed. Simply receive this. The Lord very clearly spoke to me, this is a fertile ground. This is a fertile ground. When I say this is a fertile ground, I'm not talking about this congregation. I'm talking about the leaders of this church, your pastors. Wherever they go, it's going to be fertile. And if there is a place that you know that you invest and it'll bring forth hundredfold, will you go and tell someone else? Will you invest in it? I charge you, I encourage you, invest. Invest in this fertile ground, because there is blessing in every investment that you do towards the expansion of the kingdom of God. Amen. Right? I urge you, my brother, my sister. I come from Sri Lanka. Yeah, it's a beautiful country. And English is my second language. And so I used to pray those days, Lord, give me boldness. Give me boldness. It should have been boldness. And God answered my prayers. So since then, I cast all my hairs on him. For he careth for me. Wow. So, I got a long name. I'll talk about that in the evening. Sri Lankans are notorious for having long names. And you did well with my name this morning. All right, and let's get a bit more serious. I'm loving this atmosphere. I love missions, and I'm so excited. I just see in the next 5 years, this is just growing, because you have invested into the very heartbeat of God. That is missions. God's heartbeat is missions. You know, you want to be popular in heaven? Give me one of those famous comedians, stand-up comedians now. They've been paid millions of dollars. I don't know some of those people, but then, you know. Like, give me a name of a famous comedian who's... That's right. Seinfeld, is it? That's right. He's being paid so many millions a year. He's so popular. Everywhere you go, you know, people just flock around him to, you know, get his autograph and so on and so forth. You would like to be like that? Why do people flock around him? Why do people pay so much money to go and see him? Why do people, follow him? Because he makes you happy. The Bible says, when one soul is being saved, there is much rejoicing and joy in the kingdom of God, in the heavens. The Bible very clearly says, angels are rejoicing. Angels will be having a hearty laugh and a party because of the investment that you guys are doing, because of the missions work that you are doing. And, you know, when you go to heaven, all the angels will be there, out with their autograph. Can you just sign it for me? Because you made me so happy. I'm sure recently when Billy Graham went up there, I just heard there was queues. You didn't hear about that? Angels were queuing up to get his autograph. And I'm sure when your pastor and, Nigel and Andrea got, they're going to be very popular there. Angels are going to love it, because every time there are other people who the angels have to start, Lord, this guy is crying. Everything that you go to the Lord and the angels, and they're just taking these war stories. But this morning, my brother, my sister, this church is bringing much joy and happiness in the kingdom of God, in heaven. And that's why I'm saying it's a fertile ground. Fertile ground. If you want to be blessed, invest here into their vision. Because God has called them for such a time as this. Right, so talking about missions and so on and so forth, Matthew chapter 24, I would like to talk to you today. Go back to a call from hell. How do you like that? Joy in heaven, a call from hell. Are we going to make a difference in the coming years and months? Amen? Because we are passionate about souls. I was just listening to your pastor's message last Sunday, and then I felt I need to really rise up my standard of preaching. Because this guy is like, you know, man, he's smashing it. You guys are like, this is like, how do you call it nowadays, young people? It's wicked? Or it's like, you know, yeah. That's the language. When it's something good, it's they say it's wicked. So I don't know the language that they speak today. It's awesome. I'm just getting used to it, young people. And I love the praise and worship. How do you like the dance, man? I felt like getting up and dancing with them. and we come from a dance culture from India and Sri Lanka. We just love to dance for everything. But we just dance in a way, we, you know, movement and all that. And that was so good. Beautiful. Give them a round of applause. Good job. Good job. So the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness until all nations, and then shall the end come. If you are going to be popular in heaven, it'll be good for us to get there very soon. Let me tell you, it's going to be definitely, definitely better than what you are having in this country. You may go to the best livable city, and the place what God has prepared for you and me is going to be awesome. And what you are doing as part of this congregation, part of the vision of this pastor and his wife, you are investing in that kingdom. Once you know that you have so much money, you know, how many of you all have come from another country as a migrant here or like moved? Right. Every one of us, most of us, right. Okay. I, of course, I'm not quite sure. Yeah. And if you have so much money in your own country, that you can go and sort of, you know, have a good time there, will you always want to go there? You will just want to go there because, you know, your parents have left a big amount of money and there is so much fortune for you there and you can just go and have a good time. You will want to go there. In the same way, my brother, my sister, you invest in the kingdom of God and you will have the passion and the heart to get there, because the Bible says when this gospel, the good news, is preached to the ends of the earth or to all nations, then the Lord will return. I was preaching this and one young person said, Pastor, can you just hold it back because I'm just going to get married next year. Well, all this joy and happiness that what we have in this world is nothing. Invest so that you can look forward to that second coming. Because lo and behold, he is coming. And he's coming soon. And until the mid-1900s, the church and the missions organizations thought, you know, we have reached all the nations. The word English, word nation in English is just like nations. Australia is a nation. And then detailed study of the Greek word, of that word ethnos, which is translated nations, in our English Bible revealed, it talks about people's groups. What you saw today is people's groups. What this church is reaching out, it's people's groups. Because, you know, before 1900s, the church and the missions organization failed to understand the Greek word ethnos. Ethnos means people's groups. Let me explain what a people's group is. Keep following whatever the way you want to. You know, the ethnos people's groups means, you know, in Sydney, Sri Lankans, Tamil-speaking Sri Lankans are a people's group. because we live in a vicinity, quite a number of people, unsaved. But is it reached or not will be decided by a church which is good enough or which has the power to sort of evangelize those people. So we being a Sri Lankan church in Sydney, we will be considered that the Tamil-speaking Sri Lankans or the Sri Lankans are a rich group because we exist there. In the same way, in Liberia, in Philippines, in those places or those ethnic groups that you are, you know, investing into, they are the people's group that the Lord Jesus was talking about. The moment we start working on these groups, the Lord's return will be hastened. Amen. Then you can go and get your autographs signed. The angels will come around you and say, "Hey, you're a funny guy. You're a funny person. Because we had a hearty laugh because of what you did. One soul saved. Bring much joy in kingdom." You know, how did I get to missions? I come from Sri Lanka, the northern part of Sri Lanka, where they, how many of you all heard about the Tamil Tigers fighting group? I'm not one of them. I'm part of the Lion of Judah, the team. And I've seen people being shot in front of my eyes. Many of my friends died. The war was so intense. It was between two ethnic groups, the Sinhalese and the Tamils. Anyone from Sri Lanka here? That's right. The best place to be in the world. And so there was a time I came to know the Lord at the age of 9, and I come from a Catholic background. That's why I was able to quickly connect with all our Philippines, people from Philippines. You know, we come from that kind of culture. And then there was a time I was passionate about doing the work of God. And I met one famous pastor from India, D.J.S. Dinagaran. Some of you all who come from India might know D.J.S. Dinagaran, a great man of God. He prophesies over 1,000 of people. And just, you know, stretching it really precise. 1,000 people standing there. It'll be just speaking. It'll be precise, perfect, to the spot. That kind of amazing man of God, gone to be with the Lord. And I happened to meet him one day at a meeting. Then I said, "Pastor, could you just pray for me?" He said, "What would you want me to pray for?" I said, "I want to have a passionate heart for the lost souls." Little did I realize what I was asking for. So this happened in Colombo, the city, or the capital city of Sri Lanka. And I came back to the north where I live, and the war was on at that time. The very next day, I was in business at the time, running my father's business, not the Heavenly Father, my earthly father. And now I'm running my Heavenly Father's business. That's good. And so we had to sort of go to a particular place to buy something on my scooter. Lambretta. Yeah, didn't remember that? That's a nice one. Yeah. I remember you. Yeah. We used to run on kerosene. With kerosene. Yeah, because the war was so on, like, you know, we didn't have petrol and all that. We used to run it on kerosene. Yeah, kerosene oil. You know kerosene oil? Yeah, it's fine. It's not jet fuel. No. And as I went to this place and came back, I saw this guy being brought. So these two factions were fighting against each other within the war. And, you know, they were bringing this guy totally tied, bruised, bleeding. He was on a pillion of a bike, and they had these bags that they carry. They carry an AK-47 folded, put it in that bag, and they'll be carrying it. And the moment my friend saw that, he said, "They're going to execute him." So I tried to sort of get away from that place. The moment something like that happened, the army comes in and everyone around that place will be shot dead. So I was trying to get away from it. And little did I realize, about like 30 meters away, they stopped pushed that guy, a young guy, to a corner, and they shot him. And I just tried to turn around and get to my house, and I had to go that way. And I saw this young man being shot straight in front of my eyes. And he fell, and his head was stuck in a pool of water, muddy water. And then as I was coming closer, the other guy took a revolver and looked at him and shot him again. 6 shots, same guy. That changed my life. Yes, I was saved. Yes, I know. I knew I was going to heaven. But something inside of me. Then the Lord spoke to me, "This is what you were asking for. That none should perish, but have everlasting life." Because of that one soul. And I couldn't even stop and help that guy. I didn't have the guts to do it. If I had done that, the next bullet would have gone through my head. So I had to just leave him dying and moving out. Let me tell you, my brother, sister, I can tell you stories and stories, because I was caught in the war. I've been to Sri Lanka every year. But those souls out there are precious in the sight of God. And I thank God for this church. I thank God for C3 Fremantle. I thank God for C3, you know, Villard. And I thank God, and I visualize there's going to be greater churches being, you know, God's going to sustain you. God's going to, you know, whatever you may be going through right now, God's going to just take it away. You're going to be launching out many more churches in Australia and beyond. Because our God has called this place a fertile ground. And everything that you plant will give forth fruit 60 and 100-fold. Let me just come to the final part of my message today, and I think I'm almost done. Talk to you about the rich man's request, or Lazarus and the rich man. How many of you know that story in the Bible? It's about this Lazarus, the parable of what the Lord Jesus shared. It's taken from Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 to 31. I just give you a summary of it. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. Verse 20 says, at his gate there was laying a poor man called Lazarus, covered with sores, and he desired, you know, verse 21 is very important. You know, Luke chapter 16, verse 21 is very important. He desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. He desired, there was a desire. He died desiring that something could come out of that rich man's table. The poor man died. So did the rich man. And the parable goes on. The Lord says, we know, the rich man found himself in Hades, in hell. And he saw Lazarus sit in the bosom of Abraham. And it's interesting, the rich man called out in verse 24, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "I'm sorry, there's a great chasm between you and us. We cannot come that way or this way." Now I would like to take to you to that passage in verse 27. Verse 27. And he said, so this rich man said, okay, if you cannot send Lazarus with a little bit of water, I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers. I have my relatives are living the same life that I lived, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Verse 29, Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. The rich man's request and Abraham's response. For the rich man, It was a moment of truth, moment of realization. He had it all in this world. He had it all. He lived in a perfect place, in a perfect country that provided for him. He had everything at his disposal. He had the strength to earn, car to drive, work, family, government support. He had it all. But he ended up in the wrong place. And he got it all wrong. In this time of despair, he thinks of his own loved ones. In this moment of realization, in this time of despair, in this time of total pain and frustration and disappointment, one thing he thinks about, this rich man, is about his brothers. He's still living the same lifestyle that he had lived. You know, and he cried out to Abraham, and Abraham's response was, but Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. I know there's a famous interpretation in all the dictionaries and encyclopedias that Abraham or Jesus was referring to the scriptures of that time. But I felt God had a personal touch to it. A human touch. The Lord, when he, you know, said this parable, there was a human touch to it. He could have said, they have the word. They have my word. They have the scriptures. They have the Torah. They have the Takada. They can hear, read. He didn't say that. He had a personal or a human touch to it. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. My brother, my sister, this morning, Moses is not here. The prophets that Jesus mentioned is not here. Jesus was able to depend on Moses and the prophets. Today, he depends on you and me. Even today, even this morning, there are relatives from that place of torment crying out. And those relatives may be living in Hamilton Hill. They may be living in Fremantle. They may be in Villard. They may be in Spearwood. They may be in one of the suburbs that you have come from. And this morning, they are crying out. Their relatives have died, dead and gone to hell. They're crying out and saying, Lord, send somebody. And the Lord will say, oh, in Thungabi, Sydney, my son Mitran is there. In Fremantle, he will be mentioning each and every one of your names. Said, there. God, the Lord Jesus was able to depend on Moses and the prophets. Can he depend on you this morning? Can he depend on you this morning? Can he say, mention your name. Yes, my son, my daughter, so and so is there. And when they keep crying out, will you be the answer? And then, let me finish this quickly. And then the rich man said, no, Lord, if someone from the dead, if they go, then they will be able to believe in them. Someone from the dead, if they go back and tell them, they will believe. You know, my brother, my sister, we were once dead in our sins. The Lord brought us alive. You and I are the answer. We are the answer to those people. We were dead in our trespasses. God gave us life. A second life, so that you and I, the exact thing that this rich man was asking, Jesus said in his parable, he's talking about you and me today. You know, one last thing, I say this and finish. Hand it over to your pastor. The rich man did not end up in hell because he was rich. The rich man ended up in hell because he failed to share his riches. Either you go or give. Give generously into this fertile field. That's my appeal. God bless you.